What do you do after a championship game? It was a tight game. It was a cliffhanger to the very end, and your team won. What do you do next? Well, that's where we are right now. And let me just say this to you. Our church has gone through some changes, and some of you have commented about those changes. And they've been difficult. But what you have just heard is why I, as an old man, am still here. I get so excited about it, I get choked up even. I thoroughly enjoy hearing Steve with that message. Because to me, that's what the church is all about. And that outreach is what we should be doing. And I want to be a part of it as long as I possibly can. One of the problems I struggle with is that I get older, the gas tank gets smaller and runs out faster and slower to fill up again. I'm sorry to get emotional about it, but it does get to me. It's a delightful thing. When years ago, when Steve started talking about this to us, I said, that's what we need to be doing. This is the kind of ministry we need. And this picture, plus the big picture of all that this church does, has said to me, I want to be a part of this as long as I live, because it's what we should be doing. And so I am delighted to be a part of this. I'm delighted to work under Steve's leadership because he's a visionary and he's able to accomplish it. That enthusiasm spreads, and it's a good enthusiasm. And so I'm glad you got to hear that. I think it's delightful. I feel like I'm kind of bringing in a glass of water after you've been drinking out of a fountain. But I want us to look at some of these things, and we want to talk about this biblical guidelines for a productive life. And I think if you just think about what Steve just was talking to you in the aspect of a church ministry, that's the kind of measure, if you will, of productivity. And we're going to talk about that. You know, the world has all sorts of stuff they want you to use to be productive. I've been impressed recently how they're pushing these energy drinks. You know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you run out of gas, you know, all these things, they get the energy drink. And that's to help you be more productive. And they're encouraging you with the energy drinks. But the question is, what do they mean by productivity? Well, let's look at that for a minute. The world's view of a productive life and their guidelines. And you could just think, what are their guidelines? Be remembered in history. I want to be remembered as a great man. Others, I want to have a high-paying job. I want to be a great athlete. I want to make a monumental scientific discovery. I want to be admired. I want to be popular. Hard work or greatness are considered guidelines. Leave your footprints on the sand of time. How many people you have under your supervision? You've got all sorts of guidelines that the world has for productivity. Jesus referred to a couple of them, and when he said, the Gentiles lorded over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. He also said this, and he gave a parable in Luke 12. He spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Those are some of the world's guidelines. And we see them, and they're there. But we need to see what God says about those guidelines. I've given you a bunch of verses. I would encourage you to look at these. I'm just going to mention a couple, three of them. Because I want us to get a picture of what God says about these guidelines the world gives for productivity. Ecclesiastes 1:3, what profit has a man from all the labor in which he toils under the sun? Starting to challenge it. Ecclesiastes 1:14, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. And Ecclesiastes 2 has a very interesting statement. Therefore, I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun was distressing for me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Then I hated all the labor which I toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool, yet he will rule over my labor in which I toiled, in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I labored under, had toiled under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, yet he must leave this heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. And then Jesus in Luke 20, again, talks about this man who laid up his riches and said, eat, drink, and be merry. And he talks about that, and you know what he said. This night, your soul is going to be required of you. Psalm 49, 10 to 12. He sees wise men die, likewise the fool and the senseless person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their houses will last forever, their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, though in honor, does not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. So we have the world's view of productivity, and God's view of it is it's not going to last. Don't go after it. It won't work. So let's see what God says about a productive life. Now, what I want us to do is to use the example of Jesus. If we're going to talk about productivity, let's talk about Jesus. Jesus was so productive, and this is a very important point. You know it, and let me say this. I'm not going to tell you anything new in this session. You're just going to hear stuff you already know, but we're going to put it together so you can talk to your counselees about it. But keep in mind, Jesus was so productive that he trained 12 men with his message that has continued for over 2,000 years. How productive. What drove Jesus? What motivated Jesus? Well, that's very important. We need to know what motivated him, and that'll help us in productivity. Well, he was motivated to please his Father. He said in John 6:38, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And in John 8:29, he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And in his training of those 12 men, his goal was to please his Father. So we keep that as our primary goal. Also, his goal was serving those who he created. In Matthew 20, he called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of Gentiles lorded over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whosoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Just think about it. The Creator came to serve those who he created rather than expect them to serve him. And he gave a very, very clear description in Luke 20, 22, 27, when he said, who is greater? One who reclines at the table or one who serves? Is not the one who reclines at the table, but I am among you as one who serves. So his service, Jesus tells us the more people we serve is more profitable than having more people serve us. So pleasing his Father and serving those he created were some of the characteristics of Christ, were the major motivations for Jesus Christ. Now, let's talk about the characteristic of his activity here on earth. First of all, he was humble. And that John 13 passage is very significant. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, isn't that interesting? He has everything going to be given to him, that he'd come from God, was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself, and he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. He was not concerned that people praised him. He was motivated to serve them, even the most menial service that was available. Paul tells the Philippian church in Philippians